Hi guys, welcome to the Challenge Podcast, the show dedicated to transforming your life. I'm Coach Steve.
And I'm Coach Helen, and we're excited to bring you the best information on exercise, nutrition, mindset, and health. Let's get on with the show.
What's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of the Challenge Podcast. Today with me, I'm joined with Di DeLolio. Di, welcome to the Challenge Podcast.
Hi, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Di, I'm so excited to spend the next half an hour or so chatting to you all about fitness and health. But would you like to start by giving us a little bit of an introduction about you? You know, tell us where you're from, what you do for work, and how you're involved in the fitness and health industry.
Okay, cool. So I live in Emerald, Victoria. And I live up there with my family, so my husband and my three children. So they are 19, 16 and 13. I've been living in Emerald for about 20 years, and prior to that I lived in Melbourne, and prior to that I grew up in the country. So I've been involved in fitness since 1993, which is more than half my life. I started as an aerobics instructor, and then I ended up working in managers' positions for the YMCA. I quickly determined that I wanted to kind of do something for myself. I didn't want to be a personal trainer. I wanted to do something that was a little bit different from that. And hence I went and did my diploma of Pilates, which is teaching sort of more of a clinical or a studio kind of Pilates style. So a little bit more focusing on rehabilitative kind of exercises if people injured or have pathologies and or pain in their bodies. So to cut a long story short, that was 2013-14 where I did that high-level qualification in Pilates, and now I have my own studio up here in beautiful Emerald, Victoria, and I love it.
Wow. So you've been teaching Pilates for 6 years or so and probably doing lots of Pilates beforehand.
Yeah. Well, I started teaching Pilates actually in 2003.
Yes.
So I did Pilates and then the reformer Pilates then. To open a studio, I quickly sort of decided that I needed to have a lot more information about people's bodies and the kinds of injuries that I might be dealing with. So in order to gain some credibility and have my own studio, that's when I went and did the diploma qualification.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so how would you define Pilates? So for somebody who's never done it before, how would you explain that?
Okay, so first of all, what I always do when people ask me what Pilates is, I'll actually start by explaining that Pilates is actually a person. So many years ago, there was a brilliant man, his name was Joseph Pilates, and he invented this amazing modality of exercise as a result of the work that he did while he was an intern in a hospital. He would see people that had been very injured in the wars and kind of got the springs out from underneath the mattresses and asked them to do some movements and use the springs to help them become more mobile. And then he moved to New York not long after that. He was then sanctioned by a few dancers to really help with their rehabilitation as they were injured. And hence the Pilates method was born from there. So that's where it's originated from. So Pilates is a way of exercising your body that involves increasing mobility, strength, and the centering muscles of the body, so into the core muscles. And it really is more of a thinking and feeling way of exercise rather than doing. It feels amazing. It will make you have great posture. It will make you feel taller, leaner, more flexible. And the most important thing is I find is it makes people feel young and gives them that real energetic spring in their step.
An energetic spring. Now, when you talked about Pilates, you kind of mentioned how it was almost like a philosophy of movement. Would you say that it's a set series of exercise movements, or is it an idea of thinking about movement?
It's an idea of thinking about movement. So the repertoire in Pilates is really endless and very individualized depending on what the clients need for their particular bodies. Mm-hmm. And then we would work out, well, what is the best way to move that particular part of that body safely and in a rehabilitative kind of way. For example, the shoulder joints, the hip joints, the back joints. Mm-hmm. So sometimes people have injuries or pathologies in their bodies, and we still want to maintain the mobility there and get the best possible strength around those structures and restore function and movement back to the bodies. So it's not kind of like a prescriptive kind of like sets and reps, like now we do this, now we do that. There might be, let's try this. How does it feel? Are we getting increased range of movement? Checking in with pain levels with our clients. And, yeah, really a sort of highly communicative way of teaching our clients how to move well.
Yeah. Now, you know this, Di, but probably people listening to this don't know this. I'm a Pilates instructor as well, and I did a lot of my training with you, Di. And I guess a lot of the people that we've worked with in the past usually ask that question, like, what's the difference between yoga and Pilates? And a lot of the times people want to know the differences, even though there's lots of similarities. Would you say that there's a difference between yoga and Pilates?
Yeah, for sure. So with Pilates, like, we often really work with the precision of the movement and in alignment. So I'm also a yoga teacher as well. So I've done my yoga teacher training. Now with yoga, it's really about connecting with your breath and moving with the breath. So the poses in yoga they are just one limb of yoga. So yoga is also about breathing. It's about meditation, energy. So the poses are kind of like the meditation in motion in yoga. And we want to kind of get into like a flow state with yoga and really just feel and breathe. And, you know, I wouldn't say it doesn't matter if the poses are not particularly right, but there's a little bit more leniency, I guess, in terms of like just feeling your way into the poses and the poses being felt differently in everybody's body. Whereas in Pilates, if we want to, for example, have somebody with good alignment through their hips, knees and ankles, then the teachers will certainly ensure that that is actually the case with the clients. Maybe that's one of the differences between the two. Mm-hmm. Pilates is quite possibly a little bit more strength-based and feeling into the muscles, and yoga is probably more flowing through the work. Mm-hmm. So Pilates maybe have a little bit more of a strength component to it, and yoga quite possibly a little bit more flexibility, and the stretches are held for longer. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. It does. Now, I want to take you back to 2003 when you first started teaching Pilates. And I guess the question is, why did you start teaching Pilates? Like, why did you fall in love with Pilates? Yeah. What was it about Pilates that you loved?
Okay. So what I loved about it at the time was it seemed to be a new movement that was coming onto the fitness scene. So it was, I guess, at the point in time at 2003 for me, it was this new thing that the club that I was working for at the time wanted to introduce. So therefore, I was not only curious about wanting to become a Pilates teacher, but I was also having to kind of keep up with the trends of what is happening next into the fitness industry. So I went along and I did the training and it really blew my mind and I loved it. And I felt like that this might have been the missing piece that I didn't even know what was missing until I found it, that some of the work that I was doing was lacking. So it really brought together dynamics of movement, functional movement, flexibility, feeling the systems of the body and not just feeling the muscles. So it was a more of a holistic approach of the whole human body rather than just maybe just the musculoskeletal system that I had been a little limited into. So once my mind started getting into that realm, then I felt like it had opened Pandora's box and I just wanted to learn more and more and more. And that's one of the great things about Pilates is no matter how long I've been doing it for, I still am able to learn new things and experience a new sensation in my body. And it never stops being inspiring to me in that way.
Yeah. I've got a little story and I think I've told you this one before.
Yeah.
You know, I come from a weightlifting background and when I first got introduced to clinical Pilates, which we learned mainly because of clinical reasons with uni, I found that I gave weightlifting a bit of a break, really delved into Pilates. And then once I got back into weightlifting, I was much stronger. And I don't know if it was because I had a stronger quote core or better quote alignment, or maybe I just felt my body more, but I had lots of that skill transfer where I became stronger because I tried something new. Did you experience something like that when you first started doing Pilates?
Definitely. I absolutely 100% did. So with my role at the time, which was group fitness manager. So I was teaching lots of classes and actually feeling quite burnt out. And when I started doing Pilates, and like you said, also the clinical or the studio style of Pilates, I felt like I could go all day. And I felt like I had complete muscle balance, like back to front, left to right, cut in half. And I could feel that my muscles were getting stronger and there was less of this tired feeling, particularly into the joints of my body. So that was really amazing for me because I felt like I was, at that point in time, I was probably in my early 40s and thinking, oh, you know, I'm getting too old. And whereas now I've just turned 51 and I feel better than what I felt when I was in my 30s, in my 20s. I feel taller, I feel stronger, and I never feel limited about what I can do. Mm-hmm. So if I want to do weightlifting, I can. If I want to do horse riding or surfing or running, I can just get up and do it. Mm-hmm. I can climb up a ladder and clean the gutters. Like I feel limitless. Mm-hmm. And I would really love everybody to have that gift of being able to do that as well. So I would really love it if everybody could live in a body that felt like mine does every day. It's really an amazing thing.
So do you want to talk us through a little bit of maybe your routine? When you're talking about doing Pilates, what does that look like for you? Do you roll out a mat and, you know, do some stretches, or do you use some of the equipment in a traditional Pilates studio? Like what does that look like?
Yeah, that's a great question. So even though I am a Pilates teacher and I have my own studio, I still actually go to Pilates. I do a lot of my own practice here. So for example, I'll do a little bit of practicing some of the repertoire that I'm going to teach to see how it feels in my body. Therefore, I'm better able to explain it to the clients. Mm-hmm. So I'll do my own Pilates practice here in the studio. I will also, yes, roll out my mat and do some stretches at home and also do some yoga at home as well. Mm-hmm. But once a week, I have the pleasure of attending another Pilates studio and doing an hour and a half of Pilates. Mm-hmm. And I love being taught by other teachers because they have their eye on my body and can correct me with the alignment and make sure that I'm executing the exercises correctly as well.
Yeah. So then talking about exercise in general, maybe outside of the idea of Pilates, if someone wanted to start exercising or are currently exercising or even having 26 years of experience in the fitness industry, would you recommend that they seek out help from other people to help them move better with the example of you going to other people's classes and having them help you move better?
Yeah, 100% for sure. So Pilates can really help people of any sporting background or with anything that they do in their life. Like say, for example, someone is quite an avid gym person and they're lifting a lot of weights and training their body hard in that way, mm-hmm. then it's probably really important that they undertake a mobility, flexibility, and core training program to support their body with that. So regardless of whether you are a very experienced exerciser, top of your field, top of your game, or whether you are just beginning mm-hmm. in anything, Pilates can most definitely help mm-hmm. and will help you get the results that you want faster. Mm-hmm. And it will just make you feel really good while you're doing it as well.
Now, with the Max and the Maxine Challenge, it's a 12-week fitness and health challenge to try to transform your body. How would somebody start using something like the Pilates method to get a bigger transformation in their body over a 12-week period?
Okay, so great question. They would probably get a lot of benefit out of doing Pilates in conjunction with the 12-week challenge. So they will experience a stronger core as a result of doing the Pilates. They will probably also have a lot more awareness to particularly the posterior muscles in their body. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the time we're quite dominant with certain muscles, as you know, for example, the quads and the pecs, the abdominals, and the muscles at the back of the body tend to get a little bit forgotten about, for example, glutes, hamstrings, the serratus muscles, trapezius muscles, and they're very important for function and posture. And they also very much complement a 12-week challenge program that some of your clients will end up doing on the Maxine's Challenge, which is fantastic. So it would definitely help them with that. They'll feel stronger. They'll have more body awareness as well. So when people do Pilates, we'll often really wake up those muscles that I was talking about mm-hmm. so that next time that they go to do their training program in their 12-week challenge, they'll be more aware of their core, because they can still kind of, I talk about sometimes the DOMS effect of the body as a sound in your body, so they can still hear the muscles that they have worked from doing Pilates, and then they will bring that to the work that they're doing in the particular challenge.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's kind of like reconnecting with your body, right?
Absolutely.
Having that feeling again.
Yeah.
One of the most interesting experiences I had was outside of Pilates, was when I was doing my bodybuilding competition, and I spent a lot of time flexing, right? Trying to do the poses. And what I found after that was I had a much better control of different muscle groups and being able to control them independently. Is that something that people could maybe start with if they have no idea about body awareness, like, you know, trying to squeeze one muscle, relax a muscle?
Yeah, definitely. So the posing that's done in the bodybuilding is really about, I guess, mind to muscle connection. So let's say, for example, we extend our hip joint. So the body kind of just does what it has to do to extend the hip joint, and perhaps we'll use the glutes or the hamstrings or the back or a little bit of all of three. But let's say, for example, we can isolate a particular muscle and we can get a maximal contraction out of that muscle, then that muscle is going to look different when it is flexed, and it's also going to perform differently as well. For example, I always thought that I could do a good squat and I had a pretty strong glutes and a pretty okay body that was able to do it. But it wasn't till I was doing clinical Pilates that it was pointed out to me that my glutes were lazy, ineffective, dormant. And I was almost, you know, it's a kind of a bit of a shocking thing to find out. And then it wasn't until I learned how to activate my glutes properly through, I guess, the neuromuscular facilitation through the central nervous system to really use the glutes properly that I got it. So that's what we really try to do, is we really teach people how to really flex those individual muscles in Pilates. And that's a very powerful and sort of exhilarating sensation for people when they first do Pilates, to really fire up a muscle, particularly muscles that have been a little bit dormant in the body, and establish those connections from the mind to the muscle.
Yeah.
That's one of the great things about Pilates.
So I just want to go back to neuromuscular facilitation, and I'm sure some people listening to this have heard those words before, and they're probably thinking, speaking another language.
Noodle it.
So let's talk about the idea of glutes and glute activation. First of all, how would you describe neuromuscular facilitation to someone who's no idea what those words mean?
Okay, so I'll describe it in a practical sense. So let's say, for example, I'm standing upright and I put my hands on my backside cheeks and then I flex the muscles of the glutes, and I can feel the change in shape of the muscle with my hand. I can actually feel the change in the muscle tone. So I might be at, let's say I've got a potential of doing that, say 10 out of 10 potential. So when I first start, if I haven't really worked my glutes for a long time, or I haven't thought about it, I've been sitting on them for a while, when I first start, that might feel quite weak and almost sometimes impossible. But the more I do it, the more I start to feel not only the muscle becoming a slightly different shape under my hand each time I activate the glute muscles, but the feeling and the sensation of that muscle contraction coming back to the brain feels stronger. And it's like this, wow, I didn't know that was possible. So that just sort of comes at people sometimes like a steam train, and, you know, then they get this ability to like really squeeze it hard. It's like those crazy infomercial ads, like the steak knives. It's like, well, yeah, you can do it, but wait, there's more, right? Yeah. And there's always more. It's like this endless possibility of being able to get really deep muscle contractions in your body simply by using your mind. That's it. I'm not pushing any extra weight. I'm not doing anything different. It is the same thing, but I'm just getting it at a stronger and a stronger and a stronger level of contraction into the muscle.
Yeah, so it's like we're training our nervous system to activate the muscle at a higher intensity, and we're starting to recruit more motor fibers, and the muscle might not need to get bigger, but it gets stronger because all the muscles can work in one sequence, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what would be the best way or the easiest way for someone to train that? You know, you talked about using your hand as feedback. Would you recommend like a feedback system like that to feel the muscle contract?
Yep, mm-hmm. definitely. And also, for example, if they're doing some work on reformer, to concentrate, right? So that is, it's actually one of the principles of Pilates, is to really concentrate. It's one of the great things. And so we'll start off and, you know, again, it might sort of start at a 1 out of 10 kind of feeling in the body. And then we can get to the point where those muscles are like really, really screaming. And that's just done through, you know, higher and higher levels of concentration, as well as repetition of the particular exercise. So that's the feedback that the client is getting, is what they are receiving from the muscle to the brain. And that's amazing feedback. And then the hands-on feedback as well is important. And sometimes that's actually really a requirement for the clients to be able to do it. Mm-hmm. I'll use an example. So after I had a baby, the midwife come in and they're like, right now, can you engage pelvic floor? Right? And I'm like, okay, I'll try. And there was nothing. I felt I had no neuromuscular like connection to the pelvic floor muscles. And I was like, that's it. It's never coming back. And to me, I use the analogy, it felt to me like I was trying to bend a spoon with my mind, because there was just nothing, right? Yeah. Nothing. Yeah. But then the more I practiced and the more I concentrated, and it was admittedly frustrating, I was like, I can feel it. It's coming back a little bit. And then after a while, and it was probably by the, you know, day 5 or 6 that I felt almost like it was back to its normal function.
Mm-hmm.
But it would not have been if I wasn't, you know, really committed and trying and practicing, mm-hmm. and not giving up and not getting frustrated about it.
So
encouragement from a good teacher and patience and good conversation around all of that kind of ability to feel your body and to work your body efficiently is something that people definitely sign up for when they do the Pilates.
Yeah. So you use the example of pelvic floor, and you notice change happening quite quickly in a couple of days.
Yeah.
You suggest that neuromuscular change like happens quite quickly once we get that connection.
Yep. That's been my experience of it.
Yep.
And for the clients that come to me for Pilates, sometimes that varies. So sometimes people will get it like very quickly. Mm-hmm. Others, maybe not so much. So some people may be a little bit disconnected with their own bodies, maybe as a result of trauma or, you know, injury, accident, other unfortunate events as well, or perhaps a bit of a history of being a little bit sedentary. Mm-hmm. So sometimes those clients take a little bit longer to really get, quote, the work, but they always do. Mm-hmm. They always do, as long as they're not prepared to give up on it.
Yeah.
So, and it's really, really cool as a teacher to see someone really feel muscles that they haven't felt for a long time. Yeah. It gives me immense job satisfaction as a teacher. And you can just see a light. It's almost like you can see a part of the brain kind of fire up when they've found those muscles. It's revolutionary for them.
Yeah.
And it makes them excited for what else is a possibility. So it's like the old saying, if you don't know what you don't know until you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I
want to briefly talk about anatomy, right? So a short story, when I was talking back at that bodybuilding competition, it was while I was at uni and we're learning anatomy of the lower leg. And once I found out that the hamstrings, the way that they attach onto the leg, I was able to manipulate my body in a different way because I knew the anatomy of the hamstring group. So my question to you is, how important do you think, you know, a basic understanding of the anatomy of the body is to developing that neuromuscular connection?
Oh, 100% is very, very important to know that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably not really necessary to know how to move in terms of movement science, but in terms of what you're saying with the neuromuscular facilitation, then anatomy is really important.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably a little bit more detailed knowledge that's required, and also not just anatomy, but probably like your field of study, Steve, in osteopathy is more about the whole systems of the body. So, and like we were saying, like it's an endless, endless kind of well of things that we don't know about the human body and things that we are always learning. And And I love learning about the human body. The human body is completely amazing and inspiring. And like, I'm not sure if you heard me say nerd alert before, but I find that it's not a chore to learn about it. And it really helps me to help my clients. In terms of moving, so for example, if we want people to feel their muscles, then we just need to explain very carefully to them how to move, like what bone goes where and what muscle is actually used to move that particular bone. Mm-hmm. So that's still fairly detailed anatomy knowledge. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but probably that is what is required to be a good movement and Pilates teacher and yoga teacher. But in terms of the next level of that, which is your field of expertise, it's a great thing to have, but not a necessary thing to have. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, for clients that I've trained in the past, it's good to get a foundation that they know that there's a pec muscle and attaches from this general area to this general area. And then you could take that next step and you can look at the different heads of the pecs or know that there's a pec minor and a pec major.
Yeah.
And then you can start looking at the next step, how, you know, part of it attaches to the clavicle and part of it attaches to the sternum and then it hits into the floor of the bicep groove. Mm. And like you can go depth and depth and depth and depth. And then you can even go into a deeper layer and a deeper layer. But I think if you get a good understanding of just the fundamentals, that you know that the hamstring group, for example, flexes the knee and extends the hip, it does both those movements, that can help to understand and get a stronger contraction through your hamstring group. But talking about this stuff about learning more and this idea of sharpening your saw, how would you recommend somebody who's interested in Pilates or interested in yoga or interested in learning more about their body, how would you recommend that they go about learning more and what steps can they take?
Yeah, sure. There's probably lots of little different things that they can do. So they could, for example, do clinical Pilates and or private Pilates and ask a lot of questions of their teacher. For example, if someone wanted to do a private session with you, Steve, and they really wanted to know a lot about the muscles and the systems of the body, then that would be a really nice way for them to start to do that. There's a lot of books that they can read as well. Books are great, but then applying it into real practical knowledge is probably just as important as actually reading the material, because it gives you a nice opportunity to really discover and put into practice about what you've actually read. And then more detail would be to do perhaps quite a detailed Pilates teacher training course or quite a detailed yoga anatomy course or, you know, some kind of allied health professional such as yourself, for example, osteopathy or physiotherapy, which is, you know, a university degree course. And it just depends on the person's thirst for knowledge and how far they want to take it.
You know, the internet is a pretty cool thing where there's lots of free resources. Do you recommend people doing something like jumping on YouTube and watching some of the videos that people post or following along with like a Pilates routine online? Have you recommended people to do that in the past?
Yeah, I have. There's also a couple of really good apps that you can get that people, if they're interested in anatomy, that they can have a look at. So that's a start for them as well. And then, yeah, YouTube and some of the Pilates apps that are around are going to be beneficial for them as well and will definitely help them.
Now, if someone wanted to get in contact with yourself and learn some more from you, like where could people find you, Di?
Okay, so I'm also actually running a Pilates teacher training course here at Emerald Pilates next year, which is in March 2020. So that's the National Diploma of Advanced Pilates. And they can also find me at Emerald Pilates. So my web address is www.emeraldpilates.com.au, or they can follow me on Facebook at Emerald Pilates or Instagram as well. Mm-hmm. And then my mobile number, am I allowed to give that out here as well?
If you want to, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. It's 0407-049-478. Or they can also email me on info@emeraldpilates. So it's emeraldpilates.com.au. And I'd love to hear from any of your listeners. Thanks, Steve.
Yeah, I think there will be a few people that are looking for some tips and advice in their own movement and some Pilates advice. Now, thank you for donating some of your time to be part of the Challenge podcast. I hope that we can work with you a lot more in the challenge moving forward.
Oh, I'd love to help out, Steve. I love doing this kind of thing. And the more we can reach out to people and help them to lead a healthy lifestyle and live in a 30-year-old body when they're in their 50s and beyond, bring that on.
That's the dream. Thank you so much, Di. Have a great day.
Thanks. See you, Steve.
Thanks for listening, guys. If you like the show, share it with a friend or leave us a review on iTunes to help us spread the good word.
See you next time.